When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Wake up!
Wake up!
Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
You got a quarterback, now go win a Super Bowl and do whatever it takes to build a team that's capable of doing that.
I mean, I don't trust anybody if you're asking me that. I don't trust George.
David Haw? You're muted, David. David, you're muted.
Sorry about that. Hello, George.
So that was one of the best questions you've ever asked.
Yeah, I'm sure it's going to get an answer just as good.
I don't trust Kevin Warren.
But one thing that makes this environment so special is God really kissed downtown, you know, Chicago with that lake front.
And one of the things I always look at coming home to the city is I always look for cranes in the air.
And I don't trust Ryan Poles.
It's going to be hard to make this team now.
I mean, how could you? How could you watching this?
I trust your judgment.
Thank you, buddy. I trust you. You're a dear friend.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
Enjoy listening to you guys every morning. You make my morning day start off great.
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. I'm a little worried. It is Friday the 13th.
Ooh.
It's an unlucky day.
It is.
Traditionally unlucky.
Yeah.
Various reasons it's unlucky.
Mm-hmm.
Your guy Judas, last guy invited to the Last Supper, 13th guest.
Was my guy, yeah.
You're a big Judas guy.
A big Judas guy, yeah.
I believe Christ was crucified on a Friday.
Well, that's a pretty bad day. It's a pretty bad day.
The Knights Templar, do you remember that story? They were a very powerful organization during the Crusades. They wiped them out. Mm-hmm. On a Friday the 13th.
Pretty bleak.
The Greek god Loki.
Whoa.
Not Greek, Norse god Loki.
All right.
Very unlucky.
Good morning, Mully. Turn that frown upside
associated
down.
Associated with the number 13.
No,
I'm just trying to figure out why this is unlucky.
Our lucky day, somehow, we will find over the next 4.5 hours reasons for optimism.
If you looked at our
reasons
producer,
for hope, I have.
Look right there.
He's wearing a mask.
The guy's got a hockey mask on.
Oh, Twitch stream.
That's not the most lucky.
No, it's not. It's on backwards. And now, like, what are you, Brandon, did you hurt your nose? Did you? You got the Bezelis mask going on? What's going on?
I just wanted to celebrate the last Friday, you know, the 13th of the year.
Do you celebrate such a thing or do you commemorate such a thing?
I mean, my birthday's around Halloween, so it's I kind of do dress up a little bit.
You lean into it?
I lean into
it. Yeah.
Okay. Good for you.
I know.
I mean, it's terrible.
It's impossible to avoid it. You wake up and I don't know what everyone's routine is, but yeah, you look at the calendar, you have a mental note of it, and he's got his mask on.
Yeah, I'll just wear this the whole time.
I can't. That's got to be – you got to put that on when we're simulcasting.
That's, I got you. No
13
problem.
13 seconds.
How will you do your job with the mask on?
I can see.
You can't breathe. I feel like I want to go put the biscuit in the basket. You look like an NHL goaltender.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Still glove side.
What a Friday morning this is going to be.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. We got a lot going on. There's a lot of stories to discuss. We got a lot of things to talk about. We're inching ever closer to the weekend, and always fun.
Divided my time last night between the Blackhawks and the Rams 49ers. Mm-hmm. Not rewarded for the Hawks investment because they lose to the Islanders 5-4. Connor Bedard, great goal. Great goal. Had a couple of assists as well. So we had 3 points in a losing effort, but Hawks fall short. And then the Thursday night football game in the rain.
It fell short too.
It did too. It did not deliver what they thought. That was the same 49er team, by the way, that embarrassed the Bears.
Yeah.
And they couldn't even score a touchdown against the Rams. That was maybe a product of the weather, maybe a product of the short week, but you couldn't help sitting there from a Chicago perspective and wondering, the Bears were outclassed and dominated by this bunch of...
I was thinking about it the other way. The Bears beat the Rams. That is by far their best victory of the year.
Oh, that seems so long ago.
Yes. The
different
Rams
team.
Seem like a different team, yeah.
So do the Bears.
Well,
that was insult at Soldier Field without their best receivers.
Yes.
And the Rams, you know, when they put those two guys, as was illustrated several times by Kirk Herbstreit, who I think does a terrific job, by the way, when they are on the same side of the field, Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua, how do you defend that?
Huh.
And Matthew Stafford's playing at a high level. They didn't score a touchdown either, but they survive and advance, and they might be coming into the playoffs hot.
Yeah, it looks like they're going into the playoffs, and that's the big deal there because it didn't look in the beginning of the year like they would be going into
the playoffs. Well, they lost playoffs. To the Bears.
Well, I know, but at the time, the Bears looked capable of beating.
At the time, the Bears looked like the playoff team on that field on that day.
Yes.
Seems like a very long time ago. Now we're talking about the next coach, how safe the general manager is, what's going on with the team president and his influence and impact, and asking the quarterback to defend the general manager. That was a long time ago, almost it seems like a season ago, that the Bears were beating the Rams.
They've had a couple of coaches fired since.
They have.
It's a different team, no question about it, and it will be a different team eventually. But there's 4 games left and 1 on Monday night, buddy.
We don't have to make our picks. No, not today.
So that's a relief.
Yeah.
We can hold off
on that. I don't know if there's that much suspense this week.
No.
I don't think that you're coming in conflicted at any point.
No.
I'd be surprised if you come in here Monday morning.
I don't think you have a lean.
No. There's really very little evidence to have confidence that the Bears are going to win another game.
We don't get fooled again.
We don't get fooled again.
Right?
Yeah.
Is there a song?
There's a song like that. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
There's a song in your heart.
There is always a song.
Even on Friday the 13th.
Well,
there's a song in your heart.
The song is like, da 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 da. You know, the song's a terrifying one that I'm sure Brandon in his hockey mask will be playing throughout the show.
Brandon's a bit scary today.
Brandon.
I know.
Bringing the hockey mask is
I put the music in part in the open, too.
Yeah, I heard it.
I know. Yeah, we noticed the subtleties.
He's totally buying in. Why the giant rubber knife? What do you mean it's not rubber?
How did you get that past security? Wow, you guys do get in here early.
Oh, the end of Dustin.
Oh, boy.
That'll happen first. What if, like, we're in the middle of some discussion, all of a sudden, wee, wee, and there's, like, blood splatter on the on the window. He's going to do that next. Look at the man.
Really taking these Cubs rumors hard.
Yeah.
He really wants to keep Bellinger. Oh, what are the Cubs going to do? Think they're going to make a move this weekend?
It sounds like it. It sounds like the Cubs are getting all hotted up.
Well, if they get Kyle Tucker, I'm going to reserve judgment on what I think about that trade.
Yeah, we're going to have to talk about that one.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
And we're going to have to talk about a lot of possibilities for the Cubs, because it feels like this thing with the Yankees and Bellinger
could be escalating quickly.
Is happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seems like it's
looking forward to our conversation with Chris Getz at 9:25.
Very much so.
He made a deal that is getting a lot of attention, a lot of respect around the league. We heard from Kyle Teal during the pregame show. He was on the midday show on Thursday. Young catcher, the centerpiece of the trade, came across like a pro. Really bright young player. And you're hearing a lot of good things about the haul the Sox got from Boston for the Garrett Crochet deal. Garrett Crochet, on his way out of town, did talk about his Sox tenure with Scott Merkin. Interesting story on MLB.com. So a lot of change afoot in Chicago baseball.
I don't think enough change afoot, frankly. I think we need more change.
I don't know what the next move is for the Sox, though. I mean, we can talk to Getzy about that. Right? Chris Getz. I won't go Getzy. Yeah, I'm not going hockey nickname.
Oh, my God. Please don't call him Getzy. We just can't have that.
I'm sorry.
We cannot have that.
Well, you know, can see why I would lapse into that, because he had a Luke Getzy for a while with the Bears.
Yeah, and what happened to him?
I know, not good.
So don't lapse into that.
But it was just a natural little lazy thing. I apologize. No more hockey nicknames for the Sox general manager. He's had a good week. He needs to have more good weeks, because they're still a long way.
I mean, I would defy you to put together a lineup right now.
Okay.
And it's not the time to – oh, you're going to do it?
No, I could off the top of my head.
Oh, yeah, I don't know about that.
Benintendi, Robert, Tauchman, Vargas, Montgomery.
Yeah, I don't know about
Mydroth, Vaughny.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Corey Lee.
Not
and
sure
your pitcher,
about that.
Starting pitcher opening day is Drew Thorpe. No. There's my lineup.
See, that's not.
That's what it's going to be.
That's not going to be good enough.
I didn't say it was going to be. You didn't put those parameters on
but
it.
But I think they need players.
Dustin, didn't say give me a lineup? I said, and I gave him a lineup.
Look at you. Look at you getting that guy on your side. He's not even going to be around for the whole show. Have you seen Brandon?
I know. I'm a little bit worried. Right now I'm checking how to call security. I'm scared.
What would you do if, like, I don't know, two or three segments in, like, two dudes came in, you know, various sizes, one really big guy, one
to
smaller guy,
Brandon off.
And they, like, tried to tackle him and start wrestling to the ground.
We would just keep talking. What goes on in that side of the glass goes on in that side of the glass.
We wouldn't care.
We just try to keep moving, keep the show growing. We have to keep moving on.
We have no visitors today, right? So you're not going to terrify anyone.
How do you know we have no visitors?
I'm asking.
I don't think so. There's none scheduled. Bigsy's not coming in, is he?
No.
How about Grody?
Never know.
I don't think we have any visitors scheduled, okay. unless you are surprising me with somebody.
Every once in a while, people come in.
Yeah, we do.
Every once in a while.
We'll have someone stop by.
If you hear distant screams, they'll have seen Brandon in the studio.
Can you imagine if Wani were coming in this morning, his reaction to Brandon in a mask? Ah, what? What are you doing, Brandon? What's that all about? Let me tell you, I once had a guy come in a locker room with a mask.
Dave would walk in, he would look at it, and then he would demand some wager that Dustin lost to him.
Yeah. And It would probably remind him of somebody that, you know, he went to Pitt with.
Oh,
and have a story for everything. He's got a story for everything. Yeah, how about him getting great. Troy Aikman for the afternoon show yesterday?
Yeah, that's great.
Good get.
We used to have Troy on all the time.
Yeah, he was a weekly contributor.
Yeah, he was.
Great
football guy.
Best analyst in the booth.
Yeah,
I believe.
He's very good.
I think if I were doing my power rankings of analysts in the booth this year.
Should we do that? Should we get to your power rankings of analysts at some point?
I don't know. I'm on a roll. I did the White Sox lineup. I got Aikman. I got.
That's not going to be the White Sox.
I got lineup. Greg Olson. And number three, I'd have to really think about that for a little bit. I like Kirk Street.
I don't think you can do a White Sox lineup because you're just too tainted in your connection to Colson Montgomery. So you could never and leave him off.
I wish you didn't look at that with taint. I wish you looked at that with love. Not taint. It's not taint. I want the kid to succeed. He also happens to be from small town Indiana.
Yeah.
So both things can be true. If he were from, let's say, Missouri or Newport Beach, California.
Yeah.
I would still want him to succeed. He's a good young shortstop.
He's going to be an excellent third baseman. I would agree with you. You're not listening to Ozzie.
What's the quickest path to the majors for a young Colson Montgomery?
Third base.
Okay. We should bet on that. We should have some sort of wager involved.
I'm very curious to, you know, he did not have a good minor league system last year.
I'm surprised at how
Arizona Fall League.
That good 3 weeks in Arizona seems to absolve him from what happened last year in AAA.
It's just interesting.
When he was struggling to the extent they did not bring him up. That was almost like, how could we reward this? You don't want to form bad habits because he wasn't really in a groove and he didn't really have a good year. But he is apparently being given, that's the question for Chris Getz. I need to write that down. Will Colson Montgomery be given the chance to win?
Said he would.
Well, I want to hear him say it to us.
Okay. But he did say it. He said
say it to us.
He said that he could be the starting shortstop this year, and he said that Edgar Cuero could make the roster as a catcher. I wonder if that's now Kyle Teal.
I do, too.
And how does Edgar feel?
I heard Bruce on with Zach last night at 6 o'clock, and they referred to that scenario, I believe. And I think that the way it was termed, and I want to know if you heard differently, is Kyle Teal expected to start the season in AAA and then be brought up during the year?
He's actually a year older than Edgar Cuero.
Okay.
Or he's older than him. I don't know if they're the same year and a different time.
Would you be shocked if he's on the opening day roster?
I mean, this is my question about the time frame for all these guys.
Yeah.
Has it sped up because they don't have players? And if that's the case, that's not necessarily good.
I don't think it's necessarily good.
Right.
No,
I don't know that that is the case. But when you hear, this guy's coming up and he's going to have a chance and he's going to have a chance, you think, is that due to need or is that due to we don't have any players?
Well, if that's the case, they have a lot more placeholders to sign.
That's my point. That's what I'm trying to say about the lineup that you so willfully rattled
I'm
off.
Just trying to deliver.
Yeah, but we're not looking for deliver. We want a lineup that can deliver.
It's going to be a couple years before you get that.
Hmm.
I think until that point, there's going to have to be a lot of decisions that are based on risking development and bad habits because guys might be a little bit overmatched as they learn how to be a major leaguer versus the value of getting that experience so they progress quicker. That's going to be an equation that's going to be different for each prospect. And I wonder what it will be for, say, Colson Montgomery versus Brian Ramos. You know, that's a guy who's still in the system.
Yes.
They still feel very good about. He's not aged out yet. What is he, 23?
He's younger than that, yeah.
Probably on opening day. So that's going to be the equation. And I wonder how much did they consider. I don't think that Chris Getz would tell us this. How close were they to non-tendering Andrew Vaughn?
Not close enough.
Wow.
Is that a bad thing to say?
Look, I think we got a laugh out of masked man. I can't look at him laughing with a mask on. It just seems like a creepy movie.
I'm not the big Vonnie guy.
I know you're not the big Vonnie guy.
And
but he's back after having a resurgent second half. Is that overstating it?
I don't know why anyone would be.
Hmm.
He wasn't good enough.
Vaughn.
Oh, man.
Does he have every dumb thing I've said?
I think he has both of us pretty much down. moment you've had.
was that a strange moment?
Well, going Vaughn, yeah, I think that's not one that's going to have a lot of – it's not going to age well.
It's what they say when he hits a home run.
Yeah. Like I said, that's not going to age well.
Tell that to Steve Stone. Did he ever say going Vaughn?
No.
Maybe.
I hope not.
Maybe.
I don't think it's been said that often. Hmm. If it's what they say when he homers.
Well, I'm looking forward to our
not that late.
No.
Yeah.
Because.
No. Because no.
I wonder how Stoney's doing. I wonder what he thinks about all this.
Yeah, I'd be very curious to talk to Stoney.
Yeah, we should. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see. I wonder if he's on Inside the Clubhouse 9 to 11 tomorrow with Bruce and Ryan McGuffey.
Hmm.
That'd be a good. I'm not programming Bruce's show for him any longer, but.
any longer.
Yeah. I miss my Saturday mornings a little bit sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, it's.
They get good guests. They get really good guests.
Oh, yeah. Bruce does an incredible job.
So, White Sox and Cubs news. Then, yesterday at Hallis Hall, Thomas Brown and Caleb Williams took to the podium, and I thought Caleb Williams was put in a very understandable spot as kind of the face of the franchise, and also a 23-year-old asked to basically defend his general manager was something that I thought he did pretty well.
Right.
I think we'll talk about what it means and if it means anything, but his answer – it seemed like he was not expecting maybe the question, but he was certainly very polished in his response. Thought that he had a good response.
Hmm.
What'd you think of it?
Yeah, I think he always has good responses. And I think that what's interesting to me about that is when you say someone had an interesting response, that means you think he supported him when he didn't really. Yet you're almost questioning his sincerity in his response.
Not necessarily at all.
Because he was more interested in saying the good thing than he was in saying the way he really feels.
I think that might be the way he really feels.
Yeah.
And that was something maybe I didn't expect because I don't know throughout the course of a year how much a rookie quarterback with everything going on around him would have enough interaction with the general manager to have that kind of allegiance already.
Let's listen.
Caleb, you guys have had a lot go wrong, though, this year. I mean, the coaching changes, the roster, the record. What do you base that confidence on? You're very confident in Ryan Poles going forward. You're entrusting part of your career to him.
Yeah.
What's the confidence rooted?
One, being able to be around him, being able to see the type of guy he is, how much he cares. Y'all only get to see a glimpse of it from y'all's perspective. And then obviously, you know, in the media, and we did Hard Knocks recently and kind of got a glimpse of it. But, you know, the amount that he cares about us, Chicago Bears, and wanting to win is why my faith is in him and believing in him and, you know, making sure that we get it right. That's a short answer to it.
Hmm. I thought that was a good answer. We'll talk about it more of the pick six. He was asked a couple difficult questions yesterday. I felt like, or not difficult, they were definitely revealing. When he's talking about enduring and coping with the losing and how he has to talk to his teammates about how to get through it because they can relate to it, I thought was number one, very transparent on his part. But secondly, it underscored, I hate to say it this way, but how many losing players the Bears have in that locker room?
Well, see, that is what it underscores. It's exactly right. Yeah. Yeah, these got plenty of guys to, hey, I've never been through this. Let me ask these losers what they think of it. I mean.
Well, I didn't quite put it that way, but now that you did. They've got guys who have not been on winning seasons for 5 years or more.
Yes.
DeMarcus Walker, DJ Moore.
DJ, yeah.
You know, they got guys who have been on a lot of losing teams. You look around that locker room, and it's not really hard to understand why they don't know how to win. They don't really know have players who have ever won. And that's a problem when you are dealing with a 7-game losing streak, staring at 11. Like, how do you get out of a rut? I don't know if anybody in that locker room knows how, because they've never done it.
I think there are two different things that we're talking about. The quarterback backing up the general manager, and then the quarterback talking about that very fact, that there are a lot of – that he's never had this kind of losing in his career, and he's talking to people about, you know, what you do and how you get out of it. And, you know, they do have guys that have not done all that much winning, and too many of them. So I get I do want to keep those separate, though, because I think if they were going to fire Ryan Poles, then they should have fired Ryan Poles. I think he's leading the coaching search. He's already doing work to that end. Why would you then turn around? And you know, as we said many times, there is really nothing a general manager can do at this point to improve the team over the last four games.
No, there's not. There's not.
So we can't really hold them up over that if they're not going to discipline him over it to this point. You see what I'm saying? Like, it's almost a fait accompli what is happening here. You would like the coaches to help turn this around.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a lot of GM moves to be made.
No, there's not. But the GM made the moves that put them in this situation.
Yeah.
And you wonder in the final analysis what that will mean. It doesn't appear that it was going to cost him his job.
Right.
We can certainly debate whether it should.
Yeah.
And evaluate, you know, the pros and the cons.
And I know you kind of think it should, and I kind of don't think it should.
Well, I am open-minded. I'm not conclusive. I do think that I've said that because I do wonder about how you distinguish between the general manager who put the roster together to have what could be two double-digit losing streaks in three seasons, and you fired the coach.
I think the biggest problem that the general manager has is that he was involved in the hiring process for Shane Waldron. Maybe Matt Eberflus, but that was one that he was kind of led to by various people.
We'll talk about it more later, but I think I wanted to just keep an open mind. I did not want to conclude when they fired Matt Eberflus that Ryan Poles absolutely is staying, because I'm not convinced that he has absolutely earned that right.
But the president kind of made it sound that way, but right. He's turned on different things.
He has changed his mind, and he could do it again. I just think, and they want to preserve continuity. I understand that as well. What are you continuing, I think, is a broader question.
All right. We're going to get to it. We've got all the questions of the day. We got the pick six next. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 in the score.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with 2 sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
It's Pick 6 with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top 6 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick 6 with Mully and Haw starts now.
What is your take on Bears QB Caleb Williams backing GM Ryan Poles and explaining why he has faith in him?
The amount that he cares about us, the Chicago Bears, and wanting to win is why my faith is in him.
You just heard it from QB1. You agree?
Yeah, you know, I think I don't know if I agree. I mean, that is what he thinks, and he knows it a lot closer, better than I would. He must really feel, you know, that the guy loves doing his job and really cares about every player. And I think, didn't he reference, you know, the emotion that he had during Hard Knocks when he was cutting a guy? You know, I like Ryan Poles. I don't have a major problem with the way that he has gone about doing his job. I think it's just a lot more difficult a job than maybe he anticipated. And I think that it's the kind of job where you need everybody doing their job at a really high level. You know, he's had hits and misses, but, you know, it still looks like a good trade to me that he made, all the pieces that they brought in. And I think that at one point, I do remember we were saying that Caleb Williams was coming into the best situation of any first overall draft pick ever. Like, no one had ever been taken first overall and come into a team with the kind of talent that the Bears have waiting for him. Now, it didn't happen. That didn't mean anything, and it all fell apart. And they're in the midst of a 7-game losing streak and counting. Let's be honest about it. There may not be a way out of it. But yeah, the guy at one point you thought he was doing a pretty good job. At one point.
So based on the clip, I have no doubt that Ryan Poles cares. I have no doubt that he wants the Chicago Bears to be great. I have no doubt that he wants to win. But I think we could, each and every one of us here, driving, listening, however you're consuming, watching on Twitch, you might do all those things. That doesn't mean it equals success, right? You care, you want to, that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen. So I heard the audio, we're in radio, I listened to it. But then I felt, something seems weird to me. I watched it. His body language to me was weird. He was like moving around a little bit, I felt like he was a little bit uncomfortable. Again, I'm not saying he's lying. Maybe it's an uncomfortable question. I mean, what did you expect him to say?
Yeah.
I'm really disappointed that Poles drafted Odunze and didn't get me a tackle so that I didn't have to have the most sacks in the NFL at this point, right? I mean, that's not what he's going to say.
His opinion is not insignificant, though, because he is the most important employee at 1920 Football Drive. So whether it was coaxed, coerced, sincere or not, a public endorsement from the quarterback to the general manager resonates in Chicago. And it should. Caleb Williams, I didn't know that he would go there. Ryan Poles cares about people. I don't think people care if he cares about people. Just draft and sign good players and put together a winning roster that actually is hard to make, not just in theory. I think what's going on here is that Ryan Poles has a resume that you could justify doing either thing. If you wanted to go bottom line and fire him, you have every reason to if you were Kevin Warren and the Bears. I don't think they're leaning in that direction. Dan Weider is going to have a story out at 7 o'clock on ChicagoTribune.com that looks very closely at the Ryan Poles tenure, and it doesn't necessarily reflect well on the GM, but talking to people around the league. And you could go that direction as well. I think that they want somebody who's going to provide some stability and continuity. They may be tired of firing general managers after George McCaskey's fourth. I think Kevin Warren also would probably welcome somebody who's not going to challenge him. And I don't think that Ryan Poles, if you remember the last we saw them together, is going to challenge Kevin Warren. So this fits probably very tidily and neatly into the way the Bears want to do business. So Ryan Poles will be back, and it will be with Caleb Williams' blessing.
Yeah, I'm not talking necessarily about a pick six or something like that.
What is the reason Bears interim head coach Thomas Brown announced his team will go through walkthrough Wednesdays from now on rather than full practice? A far cry from the Vikings, who scheduled a fully padded practice with an extra day this week. What's that say about Thomas Brown?
I think it says he probably knows his players and his team. This is a team that is trying to go week to week in the midst of a 7-game losing streak, and he's probably afraid of losing them if he asks too much of them. Doesn't speak well about the Bears necessarily. It's the difference between a team and the Vikings that has Super Bowl aspirations and legitimately thinks they could play for another, nearly 2 months left if they're going to the Super Bowl, and a team like the Bears who are just playing out the string, and they are playing out the string. They aren't going anywhere. These 4 games, thank you for the warning, they have 4 games left. The Vikings are looking at it, well, we need to do something to avoid complacency because we've got 2 months left. We want to win a Super Bowl. It's a difference between a serious organization and a non-serious organization in terms of being a December NFL team that has something legitimate to play for. Thomas Brown going to walk through Wednesdays, I suppose it also preserves the health of their team. Players got to love it, but it also makes them, the teddy bears, soft.
Wow, I think you just were answering for me 10 years ago. This is where we're at today in the NFL, right? I mean, Thomas Brown played the game, knows what it's like. And I saw this question last night, and then I watched that Thursday night football game last night. It looked like those guys needed a day off. Right? And you got Patrick Mahomes talking about playing, 3 games in 11 days coming up here with the holidays and everything. So I think you're going to see, unfortunately, a pretty bad brand of football if you don't get these guys off their feet. And listen, maybe the Vikings only had 1 padded practice left. And maybe that's more of an insult to the Bears. Like, you know what? Let's take our physicality out on each other because we're not going to get much of a push from the Bears on Monday. And we need another push because we're going to the postseason. So maybe it's more about the Vikings worrying about the Vikings than the Bears worrying about the Bears.
Bears are a broken team and they're limping to the finish line. That's what it tells me. The head coach needs the players to get to the end of the season. So he's taken his foot off of the pedal. I mean, a walkthrough, what does that do for you? He can talk more about his team and he can try to teach more, but you're not going to be physically ready to play. You know how you get better at football? You practice football. And there are coaches that would grind harder as things got more difficult. They would grind and grind and grind. This is not what they're doing.
What about development?
Well,
about player development?
I mean, can you do it by just going through little muscle memory type plays? It's a really
not if you believe
question.
What you said. I mean, better at football by playing football.
I believe that.
And if you care about development of a guy like, I don't know, Karan Amagaji.
Well, he's irrelevant until next year.
But I
don't think he's going to play.
He's not getting anything out of these practices because they're essentially just meetings.
I agree. That's all they're doing now. But I think that...
mental reps.
I think that that's what they're relying
on.
It's, you know, I think they're not a tough football team.
They're not a tough football team.
And I think they're trying to get to the end of the season.
All this talk about violence.
What you're doing is you're trying to keep the guys aboard.
Violence. The Bears had the most violent walkthroughs.
They might have violent stomach disasters if they among the people watching the team if they continue to play like this?
Fair. Sure, there are a lot of questions about the future. Nobody's thought about the future.
Did you read Seth Wickersham's story on Bill Belichick with the detail that a group that includes Belichick, Matt Patricia, Michael Lombardi, Josh McDaniels concluded the Bears were, quote, unlikely to consider Belichick, end quote, and that they were expect the team to target Lions OC Ben Johnson for the head coaching job?
Read the story, enjoyed the story, appreciate being sent that story. Thank you, Dustino. I believe you sent that to me yesterday, and I did enjoy it. I think it's fascinating that the Bears wouldn't consider Belichick. I think that the Bears, if they never talked to him, then they misstepped. I think that you need to use this process and this time to learn as much about your team as humanly possible. Does that mean, were they going to be disingenuous and have him? Yeah, that's exactly what they should have done. Have him interview for a job where they really weren't going to hire him. So what? Have him interview for the job. Talk to him about what it is that you need that they don't have. How does he see this going? What would he need for you to go and get in order to make this team a winning team in his mind? What is wrong with learning that information? You know, maybe if you interview the guy, you realize that's the guy we should hire. Yeah, that sort of thing happens all the time. They should be open. They should be open to listening to everyone. They shouldn't, be ageist, if that's what this is. Or they shouldn't be, our GM's too young and Bill will look at him as a guy that you get him coffee, so we can't have him come in the building. Listen, this is one of the greatest football coaches in the history of the game. There is nothing wrong with developing a relationship, getting to know him, and considering him for the job. You got tons of time. If you want to chase Ben Johnson, then guess what? That's going to probably take through the Super Bowl. So you got a lot of time on your hands. I would be talking to Bill, talking to Vrabel. I don't know about Vrabel and Brian Flores or whomever it is. I would bring guys like that in and talk to them and interview them to get their take on what I have and what they see within the division, whatever it might be. But Bill is available to anyone. So you really should have done this before he took that job.
There's a lot here. It was a really good story. But the other part that I want to bring up is that they also said that they thought the Bears was the most attractive job of the three at this point that are available. They did say that. The problem with this group of people, right, is Josh McDaniels, who you would assume is going to be Bill Belichick's offensive coordinator with North Carolina, or would have been his OC wherever he ended up in the NFL. And maybe Josh McDaniels had plenty of opportunities. Hasn't worked out. Not even close. It's been bad. Did the Bears talk to Josh McDaniels? I'm guessing they probably did at some point in one of the many coaching searches over the last decade. Right? Also, Matt Eberflus is making, we think, around $5 million a year, correct? For his to not coach now, right?
Four and a hook,
okay. Bill got 10 a year, 30 guaranteed, opportunity to make 50. I know Biggs has a story right now, but I'm not questioning Biggs' reporting, but I don't think the Bears are going to pay $15 million a year potentially to get the Boy Wonder out of Detroit.
Well, Boy Wonder would be two jobs in one, essentially.
Well, but again, is that what we're thinking?
So,
Boy and Wonder.
So you're not going to have a quarterback's coach, you're not going to have a passing game coordinator, it's just going to be Ben Johnson, an O-line coach, and a wide receiver's coach?
I mean, you're not going to have a highly paid offensive coordinator if you got Ben Johnson as your head coach.
He's your play caller.
That's a different question, though, different topic.
My point is that they're not paying money. I don't think they thought they were going to get Bill. They were never going to get Bill. Was never getting $50 million
from
the Bears.
I mean, that's
what
the thing.
So what?
Well, that's not a good enough reason not to talk to him.
Bill wants to break the all-time coaching record, Dustin. I mean, he would want to.
Clearly,
talk to
he
you.
Doesn't. That's why he's there.
No, he doesn't feel he's going to get a job in the NFL.
I'm just wondering why Dustin didn't send me the story. I read it, but thank you.
You got it. I've got the email to prove it. I sent it to all of you.
I don't think so.
Yeah, you're on it. Sent it during the show yesterday.
During the show.
Okay.
Don't you remember?
All right, back off.
Don't you remember when everyone stopped listening to you and just started staring at their screens for 10 minutes?
That happens every day. So it was 2 weeks to get today, 2 weeks ago, that the Bears fired Matt Eberflus. And they've had 2 weeks to do due diligence. So when the Bears say they have performed their due diligence when they introduce the next head coach, well, I'll nod and listen and say, okay, fine. They did not do their due diligence. That will be a lie. Due diligence would involve calling the most qualified man for the job that was vacant. And if they fill it with somebody like, say, Mike Vrabel, great. Or Cliff Kingsbury or Brian Flores or maybe Boy Wonder from Detroit. I don't know who it will be. But it won't be Bill Belichick, and it won't be because they won't maybe pay him. Maybe they would, but they didn't even talk to him. They don't even know what he was asking for. They didn't get his version of what went wrong based on the way he looked at the Bears organization. If he views this as the most coveted job in football, and I agree with him, that means that he's looked into this job in this organization, and he has thoughts and opinions and insight into what might have gone wrong and what he would do to fix it. The fact that they had not reached out to Bill Belichick in the 2 weeks since they fired Matt Eberflus is gross negligence on behalf of either Ryan Poles and Kevin Warren or both. Because this is the guy you need to talk to. Buy him dinner. Get a cup of coffee. Sit in the back room for hours. I don't care. Put him on a Zoom if he's too busy. He's definitely grinded tape on your team. He's grinded tape on every team.
Yeah.
So if he has an opinion and you failed to tap into that opinion, shame on you.
Yeah, I think it's a good question.
After talking to Billy Donovan on Thursday, what do you expect the breakdown of minutes between Patrick Williams and Matas Buzelis to be tonight against the Hornets? And what else will you be looking for tonight when the Bulls host the Hornets at the United Center?
Well, I think that the Matas Buzelis, Patrick Williams division of minutes will be interesting to keep an eye on, but Patrick Williams will have a minutes limit. So will Lonzo Ball, 20 minutes. I think Billy kind of subtly threw that in there yesterday. Did we know that he was on a 20-minute limit now? He was 18, gradually keeps going up. So I'm going to look at Lonzo Ball usage. I'm very curious how Patrick Williams looks getting back into the groove offensively, more importantly defensively, because they miss him there. And Buzelis, if he's able to maintain that aggressiveness. He's a rookie, and he's had ups and downs, but he seems to have emerged and turned a corner maybe, and that's what Billy was alluding to, is that, you know, you try to find a way, maybe they're on the floor at the same time. That's possible in this positionless era of NBA basketball. So I'm looking at those things, and then, of course, just Zach and Vooch. You know, they could get hot. The Bulls are probably going to win. Are they going to have the floor? Even though it's not an NBA Cup game, can they go back to the normal floor on a Friday night?
Normal floor.
Okay. Normal floor.
Can't use the cup floor.
Normal approach. And I think they probably will shoot the lights out because they're kind of due for one of those games.
Well, my hope is that Patrick Williams plays 10 minutes or less. That's my hope. I'll leave it at that with Patrick. What am I looking forward to the most? The Ball brother matchup. That's what I'm looking forward to.
One of the Ball brothers is out, right? Lonzo's playing, but the other Ball brother, it will not be playing, so you might not want to be looking forward to that.
Well, then I guess I'll be disappointed once again.
LaMelo is missing, I believe. Yeah.
But he's not playing.
Well, he's not playing. He's not missing. But he's missing the game.
Will the Big Baller brand be in the house?
I do not know.
I don't know, after Lonzo kind of dissed his shoe in the ESPN.com story.
Listen, here's the thing. I think there's a couple of things to look for. Now, Billy told us that Patrick Williams will be on a minutes limit. And we asked legitimately, how are you going to keep Matas Buzelis' minutes up with Patrick Williams back, even in a minutes type thing? And he said they might play together.
Yeah.
And Matas told our guy Casey Johnson yesterday, they played together a lot this week, a lot in the practices leading up to this, and that they won some scrimmages together. And so I think that's the number one thing that I'll be looking at. I'm also going to be looking at Vooch because one of the things that Billy said, they had 4 days off, right? And they used it as sort of like a little mini training camp in the middle of their season. And you heard Billy say that they were going to work on how to get the ball to Vooch more. Just the, what's the best. So I'll be looking for that. I want to see evidence of what they did this week in terms of getting the ball more to Vooch and getting him more as a central piece of their offense. He's having a heck of a year, and he's having a year good enough to be an all-star, but you know, you got to wonder if the Bulls are having a year good enough to get an all-star. So I would like to see them being able to improve the way they work the ball to Vooch tonight.
Yes. Hey, well, here's another question.
Mark Grody, 825 with you guys. If you had to pick between Kyle Tucker starting for the Cubs next opening day or Matt Shaw, which would it be? Even if answering Tucker would mean Shaw was included in the trade with the Astros, how big of a risk is it to trade for Tucker?
Yeah, I don't like the idea of giving up Shaw or Cam Smith. Those are the two guys that Bruce mentioned yesterday night who would be necessary to get this deal done. And I mean, how much are you giving up for a guy who is on a, he's a loner player. He has 1 year left on his deal and he says he's going to check out free agency. So even if you like him and he works out well for you and you go to him, he's going to tell you that he's, are you signaling that I'm going on and on? Is that
no? That's like bye-bye.
I would
You're saying he could go bye-bye.
Oh, he's definitely going bye-bye.
That's what I mean. Like,
and I mean, that's you may fall in love with this guy, and you may say, all right, we got to bring him back. And it may cost you $300 million that you're not going to spend. So why would you give up Matt Shaw? Why would you give up Cam Smith? I don't understand why you would want to give up a good young prospect unless they were blocked or something, and they're not. Not these two guys. No. The answer is no. I wouldn't give up one. Hey, go ahead. You want to give them, you know, a Paredes? You want to give them even Seiya? Okay. Then goodbye to those guys. But I would not give up one of the top 8 players in baseball or whatever, top 25 player, 45, whatever it is, player in baseball, prospect, for a guy that's going to be here for a year? No.
Well, he could be here for a decade, depending on if you wanted to act like a big league baseball team.
But
right?
Dustin, he says he's checking out free agency. So you're telling me that they're going to suddenly give $300 million to someone? That's what you're saying. Is that what you believe?
And no, I didn't say that. I said there's a possibility. Here's the bottom line. I understand people have, lots of Cub fans out there have fallen in love with Matt Shaw. And I get it. I'm not saying you're wrong. But like Cam Smith, okay, don't let Cam Smith be the reason that you couldn't get Kyle Tucker at Wrigley Field for a year and let him fall in love with playing in Wrigley and playing for the Cubs. I agree with Matt Shaw. I would let Matt Shaw break that deal, and that might be dumb as well. But I wouldn't let Cam Smith get in the way.
I think that's a good distinction.
I do because we haven't fallen in love with him yet. Cam Smith is a $1 scratch-off ticket, in my opinion, right now. A $1 scratch-off ticket. I mean, Matt Shaw is at least a $10 scratch-off ticket.
Yes, I agree with that. This question was specifically about Shaw, but I agree with you making that distinction, Dustin, because Cam Smith is not somebody that you really have had as part of your organization long enough to fall in love with him yet. Matt Shaw has proven to be, including this past off season as part of Team USA in that international tour, a guy who I think is ready now.
He's had a wonderful tryout period, if you will.
And really, right? his arc keeps getting steeper, and so he's coming in hot. He's coming up fast. I would protect him. I don't like the idea of untouchables, but the risk involved in getting Kyle Tucker, he might be here for a decade if the Cubs were to spend that kind of money on him if he's hell-bent on testing free agency and trying that route. But he is, and you haven't done that yet, so I don't think that's a risk worth taking. If Matt Shaw has to be part of a deal, you don't have a deal. And so I think that you've got to preserve your prospect that's ready now and go out and find your help elsewhere. Paredes, yeah. Cam Smith, fine. Seiya Suzuki, see you later. But I don't think you want to do that with Matt Shaw.
You drafted Cam Smith 14th in the draft. Like, why would you give up a first-round draft pick for a guy that you're always
the Red Sox just did.
Well, they gave up two of them, but they did it for a starting pitcher with 2 years of control.
I know the control is different, but I'm just saying, I'm not rushing to trade Cam Smith either. But if it gets you a shot at Kyle Tucker, I'm more willing to entertain that possibility than Matt Shaw, who's already proven, I think, more in your organization than Cam Smith has.
Oh, my God, what a question. What a question.
That's Joe Fortenbaugh. He's with the guys around 7:40 this morning. What is Chris Getz's next big project now that he's traded Garrett Crochet? If your answer is trading Luis Robert Jr., explain why it wouldn't make more sense to wait to trade at the deadline. And if you believe it is trading Lou Bob, then what is a reasonable haul?
I do think that the trading of Luis Robert Jr. seems inevitable for the White Sox. I don't think this offseason is the right time to do that. You just brought in a new hitting director. Let him try to fix Lou Bob or Luis Robert Jr. and see what you could get at the trade deadline if you are continuing on this path of rebuilding and you think that he could get you prospects. And I believe that is the smartest way to approach this. Keep him, start him on opening day, get him back to being the guy that hit all those home runs 2 years ago and gets teams enticed to giving up prospects for him. Maybe you get a deal like you got for Crochet at the deadline. Now is not the time to deal Luis Robert Jr. Spend your time more wisely. Go get some legitimate fill-ins, placeholders, legitimate major league players, so when I put together my next lineup, it makes a little more sense.
You know, make this team more likable. And this is not a Cubs-Sox thing. I don't think there was one Sox fan out there last year, definitely not one that participates in this show, that liked that last group. And it wasn't just that they lost. It was how they lost, how they handled themselves, how they talked to the media. A very, very unlikable team, unlikable group over there. And get one, figure out which guy, which young guy you can bring up here and play every day and get him, be the reason to come out to the park, be the reason to see them, be the reason to be proud to put that cap back on again. As far as Luis Robert Jr. goes, I mean, I think they still might have made an error trading Crochet when they did. Now they might think he's a little more fragile than Luis Robert Jr., but I would personally hold on to Lou Bob until the trade deadline and get as much as you can for him. And if you don't get enough at that point, it was probably the same you were going to get right now, so you rolled the dice. What do you got to lose?
Well, I think you have to understand that if you're getting, if you're making a deal right now for Luis Robert, and apparently the Cincinnati Reds are interested, but that's not a salary dump, that's a player dump. You're just getting rid of a guy who was your last all-star that is connected to too many players in the fans' minds or your mind that didn't work out and that were underperforming. This doesn't make any sense in terms of value for the contract. You're literally trading him at his worst moment, and you're saying, you know, he is utterly uninterested in playing for this team, so we have to move on. Well, that's not how you're supposed to do this stuff. You're supposed to work and get the guy back and make sure that he is motivated, that you have gotten him playing his best, and then you use that to move him. And the fact that you're talking about just dumping him in order to dump him means you'll get nothing in return. They're not getting prospects, top prospects. They will get very little of value right now for Luis Robert Jr. If you wait, you may get a lot more, but you're risking that he could just be completely uninterested. He could have another kind of strain somewhere, and he's not going to be around. So if you're so sick of all of that, that you feel like you have to just move on and get anybody else in here, that's a player dump. It's a bad idea, but that's what you're contemplating. I would personally want to get some kind of value for a guy who is not only an all-star player, but by far the best player that you have, by a mile, the best talent you have left in your organization. The idea of getting nothing for that, that's just not acceptable.
They wouldn't get anything for him now.
Nothing. Absolutely
nothing. What
about
signing him long term? Ooh.
Yeah, they tried that too.
Ooh.
All right, we got the extra point next. We're going to do it. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the extra point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Do the Bears seem overmatched in the Minnesota game on Monday night despite playing them close the last time? Do you feel Minnesota is on a roll after a 5-TD outing from quarterback Sam Darnold last week? How will the Bears stop him on Monday, and what does the future hold for Darnold? Any chance Minnesota gives him the franchise tag?
Lots of questions here, good ones, and start with the first one, the obvious one. Yeah, they're overmatched. This is not going to be a good three-hour commercial on national television for the Bears organization. This is going to be a slog, a long night watching the Bears be dominated, again, in a building that has not been good to them and is not getting any easier to play in. And you're going to see the difference between a team that's preparing for the Super Bowl as evidence of their padded practice this week when they're 11-2, and a team that's announcing walkthrough Wednesdays because they just want to play out the string. That's going to be a difference in disparity. It's going to be glaringly obvious Monday night on whatever station you watch, ABC, Disney, ESPN. Monday Night Football.
Yeah, watch it on Disney. Watch the SpongeBob.
Are they
version.
Doing another?
Could they
Simpsons,
do the Simpsons episode?
It's just the point. The reason cartoonish. I said that, though, if you want to know why I said what I said, is because it's a little confusing this week. Because we have two games.
I get it.
So two games will be on at once.
I'm not. That wasn't a shot at you. Believe it or not, I'm not doing that. I think that wasn't. It wasn't
clearly a shot at them.
Back to Sam Darnold. I think that the franchise value for quarterbacks, franchise tag value this year is $38 million. And it may seem exorbitant, but he's likely to get that in the open market. If somebody's going to offer him three-year $95 million, three-year $100 million. He's having an MVP caliber season. He's going to be the comeback player of the year. I would think that it's a no-brainer. He's a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback right now. In that system with that coach and play caller, he's only going to get better. Yeah, I think the Vikings, you don't know what you have in J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah.
We like the guy. But they bring him back, franchise tag, Vikings going to be a problem again next year.
I don't think it'll be as bad as it was Sunday afternoon in San Francisco, but I don't think it's going to be very good. The defense has to respond. It really does. The defense has to be better just on a personal level. Guys got to want to make contact. You know, guys can't be making, as we've, you know, the one of the hot words seems like, you know, guys making business decisions. Okay. Make a business decision to put, you know, your reputation on the line. Make some contact. There are three very good pass catchers, okay, on this Vikings team. And their running back came from Green Bay to Minnesota, and he basically has owned the Bears the whole time he's been in the NFC North. So the run defense has been no damn good. The pass defense, which used to be good, was not good last week. Sam Darnold, I think, you know, is it the play caller? Is it Sam Darnold? Is it the marriage? To be determined. I do not think Sam Darnold will be back in Minnesota next year, but I think Daniel Jones will stick around and try to help mentor the guy they took last year, local guy made good, J.J. McCarthy.
I think it's a fascinating idea because I think you're so right. I think to answer the first part of it, I think the Bears are going the wrong way, and I think Minnesota's going the right way. And they're coming off a really good performance where they got five touchdown passes from Sam Darnold, and they've got as good a receiving core as there is in the NFL. And they make plays, and the Bears are going through walkthrough Wednesdays. And that speaks differently as to how focused you are. And you're just trying to get through a season, and these guys are trying to get into the playoffs. So I think both organizations are heading in different fashions. Listen, the Kevin O'Connell's reputation has grown immensely. He's still in the running for a coach of the year himself.
Definitely.
And what he's done with the quarterback has been extraordinary. The problem with J.J. McCarthy is you don't know what his injuries are. He did have to have a second procedure, maybe just a cleanup, but he not only got his knee done, he had to have another type of surgery. That scares me a little bit. I wonder if it scares them. I think they feel like Kevin McCarthy is the key here and that he can do things with J.J., and J.J. McCarthy is a really good player. So even if it's his rookie year or his first year, he could do very well with Kevin McCarthy. I just don't know. I don't know if they want to give $40 million or get right to a guy on his rookie contract and kind of build up around it, etc. I don't think Daniel Jones is sticking around there, Dustin.
No.
I don't think that's going to happen.
I think you wonder if they have such confidence in Kevin O'Connell. They think that basically he can make the best out of any quarterback.
That's
even an untested guy like J.J. McCarthy. But that's really risky in the NFL, as you know.
Yes.
You take the sure thing, and right now Sam Darnold is closer to
but
a sure thing.
$40 million is a lot of money for Sam Darnold for 1 year.
Depends on how the season ends.
Yeah,
it and
does.
Where it ends.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. If they make a nice playoff run and they feel like it's out there in front of them.
And they're this close.
Then they could do it, yeah.
Imagine losing your star quarterback, your best edge rusher, and getting better.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's what the Vikings did this year.
It's crazy. All right, we've got your calls coming in. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
The amount that he cares about us, the Chicago Bears, and wanting to win is why my faith is in him.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 the score. That is the rookie quarterback talking about the young general manager.
Yes, young general manager whose job status is up for debate by some people. Dan Weeder with a column in the story, deep dive into Ryan Poles and talking to some people. It's at ChicagoTribune.com. The quote from one former AFC executive is essentially talks about, well, it sounds harsh, but the first question I'm asking, talking about potential head coaches, is why does he get to save his job? And I'd want to walk away with absolutely zero reservations about their answer. It's a fair question. It's a good topic of conversation. I do think that eventually, even though the Bears could be finishing on an 11-game losing streak, they will retain Ryan Poles.
Yeah, I mean, here's the problem with that question. There's no way you're going to get the job if you ask that question in that fashion. There was ways of wording that question. Why does he get to keep his job?
There are ways of wording that question. It's not the most tactful approach. But if you're Mike Vrabel, say.
Sure.
And you have been through your share of general manager issues in Tennessee. Do you want to know, how badly do you want to know where your input begins and ends?
Look,
how powerful are you if you're the new head coach?
See, I think I honestly know this is going to sound bad, but I think a guy like Vrabel, he will come in and he will know already where it comes and it goes. He will look at this and say, look at these weak-willed personalities.
Okay.
I will dominate each one of them.
I think that speaks to the...
Right? Am I wrong?
The one last thing we need to figure out as throughout the course is... No, you're not wrong at all. I think that's a good point. Ryan Poles has 1 year left on his deal.
Yes.
What happens? Do you let him play that out as a lame duck? I think you might have to.
It's a really
He does not have a five-year deal. Yep. Matt Eberflus did. Yep. That was one of the caveats. The Jaguars were in on Flus. They were negotiating. They gave him 5 years, the Bears. They gave Ryan Poles 4. That was not ideal, but that was what Trace Armstrong negotiated. That's why he has 1 year left on his deal.
We got Biggs time next. We got to get to our guy Biggsy, but we need to talk about this. No stretch at all. We need to definitely get to that. And maybe we can ask Biggsy about it because he did write that there could be a possibility for a contract extension for the general.
Because he's a lame duck.
All right. We've got Biggs time next. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 the score.